Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Thirst World Problems. This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic. And in studio, I'm here with my good friend and favorite troll, Nick Dugal.
Woo! My voice is still the same. What's up, everyone?
Even after the holidays, the voice is still the same, eh?
The fuck? New Year's, I got destroyed. New Year's Day, I got even worse. Oh, my God.
Had a good little run there, did you?
I had a good run. I fucked myself up. That's the best way I could describe things. I fucked myself up.
So good holidays then?
Yeah, it was great. Couldn't complain. It was, I got everything that I wanted, which was nothing. And
so everything you deserved as well.
Everything I deserved and drank.
Can't argue with that. That's not bad. No. I do have one pet peeve about the holidays, though.
Oh, they're going to say about me.
New year, man. New year. Started off positive.
We're not even 1 minute in and you already got a pet peeve about me.
No, man.
What's your pet peeve of New Year's?
What bothers me about the holiday season is you go to these places and there's food everywhere. Like delicious, amazing food. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start craving this food after the holidays. A few days later, you're like, oh, remember those meatballs, the Swedish meatballs that you made at the Christmas party? Can you make some more of those? Like, oh, do you know how much work that is? I don't want to do those. Don't do those on special occasions. Or you have someone's, I made some fried chicken the other day, drumsticks, right? Finally got my recipe correct. Buttermilk for 2 days, seasoned the buttermilk brine, did a buttermilk brine, seasoned the buttermilk brine, seasoned the flour.
Any eggs?
No eggs. And it worked out. I've been trying to fool around with all these different recipes. Didn't work out. Tried this one. Amazing. So good. So I'm like, oh, I want to make some of that afterwards. So I had some in there. I had it marinating. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, one thing led to another. Holiday season, people come over. Didn't get this done. Didn't get that done. 3-4 days later. Okay, now I'm really ready for this chicken. And then they're like, I don't know about that guy. Like, it's been in there for how many days? Like 4 days. I'm like, nah, that's done, man. You can't keep that marinating in there for that long. So I got to marinate it for 2 days. I've got to get all the flour out. I've got to get the deep fryer. I've got to do all this. It's just not worth the hassle. And so I had to throw all that chicken out. Gone to waste. That's what I'm saying, man. And it was actually, I was going to make it for you today, actually. Had it in there ready to go in the deep fryer. But, yeah. That's one of my pet peeves is you get all this great food, except some of it takes so long to make that you don't really want to make it again or no one wants to make it for you again after the holiday season until like Thanksgiving or something.
So are you just going to make that New Year's deal, that chicken, or is it, it's a New Year's chicken or is it like a...
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Once every 3 months, or what kind of chicken is this? Like,
I think about every 6 months, this is what it's going to be. So I think
I was going to go by, what's the calorie intake? If it's a high calorie intake, it's going to be for sure 11 months, once every 11 months, right?
Well, that's the other part that I never even thought of, bro. But yeah, I want to do it on New Year's because, you know, I'll take my time. I'll do it on New Year's. We like to have like family and friends over on New Year's Day. So start to do that. And then I figure in the summer, at some point, one time in the summer, instead of barbecuing, I'll bring out the deep fryer while barbecuing, bring out the deep fryer out back and do it. It does take a while and does get super messy. That's the only thing. And I mean, I'm not making it for tons and tons of people. I probably should be. And I think that's what I'll do next time is have a bigger barbecue. And that way I can use all the chicken at once. Because I went to Costco. And the thing is, when you go to Costco and there's only like one or two of you in a house, you're screwed.
Right.
So
you got to try to eat it, right?
Well, that's the thing. And I made about half the pack the day before, 2 days before or whatever. So I made half of it. I'm like, okay, I'll make a few of them. Made like, I don't know, like 40 or something. And I thought, okay, wow, that's... this should go no problem. Everyone eats them. And I guess that's the other part too, right? Because they're so heavy. And like you said, calorie intake, people eating all holidays. So we got through that. But it's like, oh, shoot. And that's when I had people over. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do with this other? I had, like I said, half of it. So what am I going to do with this other 30 wigs? Like just me going to sit here and just pig out while watching the games? So I don't know, man. But
you know what the most crazy, like the stat is just astonishing for me. The most bought item at a grocery store in the holiday season? Can you take a wild guess?
Eggnog?
No. It's the most bought product, but the least eaten product at the same time.
Most bought, less eaten.
Yeah. Least eaten.
Okay.
Out of everything on the table.
Is this like a fruit cake or something like that?
No. So it's cabbage. Cabbage is the most bought item at a grocery store in the holiday season, but when it's there, nobody eats it.
Okay, this is doubly weird. Okay, it's weird, number one, because cabbage, a lot of people are out here buying cabbages.
I read this in I read this in the New York Times today. Don't ask why of the New York Times.
Well, see, that was my next question is, why are you researching grocery
items? It was just there. Like, I was just scrolling, and it was, like, on the main page of, like, this is, they did a statistic on it of, this is what's been, like, used. So think about how much food kind of gets, I'm not trying to make a bummer podcast here, but think about how much food gets wasted, man, throughout the holiday season. It's crazy, right?
Oh, it's nuts. And like I said, man, it hit me today. And that's another one of my pet peeves. I'm on a roll today, is I hate throwing out food, like especially cooked food. It's just sitting in your fridge, like just use it. Or why'd you take so much of it in the first place? You never got to it, just doing other things or eating other things. It's just one of those things that it just really irks me, especially when you're preparing it to cook. And that's another problem, but I can't get over this cabbage thing. So are we talking like coleslaw? Is that why people are buying all this cabbage? Or
yeah, like they make, obviously you can do like wraps and stuff like that, right? Mm. So like, I guess people just don't end up eating it. They just want like the main stuff, the juicy things, right?
Fair enough.
So let's kind of go with 2019 here. What's one of your main highs for 2019 that you've had?
Oh,
in general.
A highlight from 2019?
Yeah.
Okay. I think one of the most, one of the things that sticks out right away anyways from 2019 is the award ceremony that we went to here in the city.
That was your big thing?
That was one. It was a good night. We were all out. We got all dolled up. And it's just, yeah, one of those nights. It strikes me as a fun night from 2019.
Interesting. Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Enjoy your company sometimes.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed your company. So that's the difference between you and me.
Okay, what about you, my friend?
Mine is I helped my dog give birth, which is the most craziest experience that anyone probably will ever experience, to be honest with you. Think about this. I felt like I have no knowledge. I had no knowledge of how fucking animal birth happens, but it was the craziest thing ever. When that was happening, like we saw her, we see these legs sticking out and we're just like, holy fuck, this is it. Okay. Yeah, so we put her in a kind of a pen. Yeah. We put her in a pen, kind of isolated. Right. And I was in there with her and I had gloves and everything, like obviously my worst fucking clothes on. Right? Yeah, and like she was like trying to get the baby out and stuff, and I helped her out and like, you know, just what's going on, making sure she's cold. I didn't even sleep that day, making sure everyone's okay. Like, fuck, it was crazy. Crazy experience. You're probably the craziest 3 hours of my life.
That does sound kind of nuts, though.
It was unreal. Like the fact that you don't know what to do. Like you're assuming, like for us humans, when you're someone's about to have a kid, you take them to the hospital and let the doctors and surgeons do it. Here it's like, oh yeah, I'm having a kid. Cool. The instinct of a dog just automatically knows what to do. Okay. You know, placebo? Mm-hmm. Eat the placebo.
Oh, placenta.
Placenta. That's a placebo. Placenta. Eat that. You know, cut the umbilical cord. I cut my own fucking dog's umbilical cord, man. That was fucking unreal. Like, who am I, fuck?
That's what I'd like to know.
Right?
And it's got to be weird, too, because they can't really communicate anything to you, right?
But that's the crazy part about having a dog, man. Like, you guys don't know each other's language. You guys are going off of vibrations, like frequencies, right? Because you can, if you talk to your dog, if you just say the same way his name is about it in a different, but if you say it in a different voice, in different name, he still knows You're talking to him, right? And that's the thing with the dog. Like, you guys don't speak the same language, but somehow you are on the same page together. It's just, it's such a magical moment, man. Like, it's crazy. That was probably my biggest, like, I just couldn't believe it. That day, like, I literally sat there, like, when it was all done, and I was just like, holy fuck, like, I can't believe this happened. Like, this is unreal. Like, what a crazy, crazy, like add that to your history. You know what I mean? Like, what's a sport that you've always wanted to be, you always want to know more about, but you just don't have the willpower to really try to be involved as hard as you can. Like B, for example, B says he's trying really hard to get into like English soccer, right? Mm-hmm. Football. But he just, and he says, I've talked to him about it numerous times. I don't think I've talked to him about it. I think I've talked about it once. But he's like, I just don't understand how it works, because he has that North American mindset of how things should be, winning record, and then you do playoffs, right? Overseas, Europe, it's just cool. If you have the best record, you win.
Yeah. And then, right? Yeah, and relegation and whatnot,
relegation,
right?
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. And then you get to go into a, you know, Champions League or whatever league, right? But what's a sport for you that you've always wanted to get into more than usual, but you just really don't have the willpower to do it?
I don't know if it's a sport that I want to get into or haven't got into, but it's a sport that I definitely have lost touch with and I'm just completely off base with now. So, for example, like, I used to follow hockey a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, yeah, it was a street hockey. So we'd play street hockey all the time, especially coming up. Like, I still play spongy and stuff now, but I used to watch a lot of hockey and play a lot of hockey video games and stuff. So I was always in the know, right? But what happened over the years is, I know, life happens and you start playing more and more different rec sports. And
it's that rap music.
Right? Less and less time. And then we lost our team and stuff too, right? So then kind of stopped following and not really paying that close attention. And then even when the Jets came back, just never really got into it. Go to maybe a game a year kind of thing.
Okay.
But definitely don't go out of my way to go or watch a lot of the games. I'll probably watch every fourth game kind of thing. I'll probably watch a bit of, but I definitely don't follow the team as a diehard fan at all. So it'd be nice to get back in the league and just know some other teams besides just the Jets. Like I said, it's kind of like football where I knew rosters or I knew where players were. So that used to be one of the fun things for me. And even, I won't lie, man, I'm mainly a football guy. Even basketball, I'll watch games. I watch way more games of basketball than I do hockey for sure. But there's still a lot of roster spots or a lot of guys. Like, I can't name the starting five on every team like I could back in the day, right? So,
yeah, that's true. My basketball, like, don't get me wrong, I'm when it's there, it's there. Like, I'll know it, right? But there's players that I just don't even know who the fuck. I didn't know who the fuck Joe Harris was. I think that's his name for the Nets. And this guy won a 3-point contest. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? But you know what I mean? Like, you just...
Oh, for sure.
I've kind of lost... I think it's just... I feel like it's too many come and goes. There's too many come and go guys. Because before, like, I'm not trying to link back in the day to what it is now.
Oh, old man in it, huh?
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that. But I mean, like, you just felt like the consistency and longevity was a little bit more for some players. And I guess it'd be harder for you to play in the league because, you know, once you're in, you had a commitment, at least you're there for 3 years. Some of these guys don't even make it past 6 months, right? I guess some guys get hurt. Some guys get traded. Free agency gets crazy. People go to Europe now more often.
Or China.
Right? Yeah. You know, just it's so, there's so much going on. I think it's not hard to keep up, but I think you just got to be on the ball with it. I think that's the hard part about the NBA now.
Well, I think it's harder and harder to keep up with multiple sports, especially because there's so much going on. I know back in the day, after one season ended of something, that was it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't all this off-season drama. It wasn't a whole bunch of coverage on what's happening in the off-season. NFL Network's on, NBA TV, like NHL Center Ice, like those kind of programs are on all year round based on that sport, right? So you can just go down a rabbit hole. If you're really into football, you can be watching football the whole time. It doesn't really have that incentive to be like, oh, football off season. Now, what can I watch? What can I get into? You can keep track of what's going on in the football season, what's going on in the off season, who's going where, and kind of line up your team or root for off season transactions, right? Back in the day, it was football's over. Now I'm moving into basketball. Now I'm going to divert all my time into basketball and seeing where everything is, right? So I think that's kind of crossed over and kind of taken. And I mean, other part of it is we're just getting older, right? So, and even things like this, we're on the pod, we're working on the pod a lot. That takes away from extra times. So I'm surfing Reddit to find out what's going on and what's the next big thing in podcasting, what's a different editing technique, what are some things that we should be working on, right? Whereas before I'd be like, okay, let's go over the Phoenix Suns roster. Okay, let's jump over the Sacramento Kings. Now I don't got time to be doing stupid things like that, right? So
I wish I got into more. Like, I used to be really heavily into MMA, like back in the day. Like my dad got me into MMA.
Your dad,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, my dad was the first person. Like, he's the one who was renting UFC 1 all the way to, like, 50. He was renting these from, like, Rogers Video. And then when pay-per-views and stuff were happening, like, obviously, you know, you can get everything online now, right? So he's like, Nick, you know how to do these things? I was like, of course, you know? So we were doing that, and, like, that's where I got, I just knew everything. Like, I knew every move. Like, I knew everything. I just knew how things worked. And but now I've been watching, like, now I'm trying to get back into it. I'm just like, some of these guys I've just never heard of. And you're just like, yeah, you know, he's undefeated and stuff. He's like, yeah, he's undefeated, but he doesn't look like a normal, you know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't stand out, right? Like, and that's the thing. I kind of feel like there's a lot of stars that are missing. Yeah, they may be fantastic with what they do, but that's just that superstar status is missing, I feel like, in some sports, right?
So in your eyes right now, if we're talking UFC a bit, what are the top, let's say top three, because you follow them a bit more than me. So what are the top three names, like fights that you want to see, like or fighters you want to see, top three fighters you want to see if we're talking MMA here?
Like, I see, that's the thing. Like, I'm not a big fan of Conor McGregor. Like, I like him, but I just think his fights are always interesting because he likes to stir the pot, and which makes things so interesting, right? And, you know, I think him coming back, it might help the sport. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's coming back just for money and whatnot, but it's like, yeah, but he was, I feel like he's the last star of MMA right now. Cause everyone knows who he is. You talk about MMA, they go, oh, that Conor McGregor, that guy, Conor McGregor guy. Yeah. Like if you're that guy, it's like he's like equivalent to a fucking Kleenex. You know what I mean? Instead of saying tissue. Like, oh, yeah, you want a Kleenex? Oh, yeah, you're going to watch what Conor McGregor does? You know what I mean? So things like that. Something in UFC, it's like, oh, yeah, that Conor McGregor fight. Not that UFC pay-per-view, right? But him, there's Airbender versus John Jones. I want to see that. Apparently that's going to be crazy. But, yeah, like the fights going forward, I'm just not. I hear Mayweather's getting into MMA. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, now you're just getting really silly when it comes to shit like that. And, like, apparently Mayweather and Pacquiao are going to go out. It's like, come on, guys. Like, that's the fight that the first fight was past his prime.
If you guys yeah, but now this is a different.
Yeah, but now you guys are older. Now we really see who can chew the, who's against, you know, time, you know. Time is undefeated, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just,
but yeah, MMA though, no, different rules, man. Maybe Manny's got a crazy front kick, man.
Well, no, like obviously though, I have a boxing match, but like, it's just, I feel like there's no stars how there used to be stars. Like in each division, again, there's great fighters happening in each division, but I just feel like, you know, they need I think one of the biggest guys is, his name is Covington, right? He's the guy who's the Trump supporter. That's like his gimmick. And again,
didn't he just get beat?
He just got beat. But at the same time, this guy, like, everyone hated him because he was using that as a gimmick. I'm sure he's whatever his thoughts are, but he's using that full advantage because that's going to bring him buys, right? That's going to make people come and see him to get his fucking ass kicked. And what does he care? He's making money, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck, right?
Fair enough. You'd sell your soul out just to make sure you're making money, eh?
Would you do it?
Support Trump to get our podcast to number one. No, I'm happy with where we are. We'll get there on our own.
I never said that, but let's go with that question. If Donald Trump was here and you're just like, hey, man, I'll give you guys so many streams if...
oh, yeah, you get the Ukraine.
If Bell just says, I support Trump. Just say those words, yeah. Buddy. Just say those words.
100 million streams overnight, eh?
Would you do it?
Let's put it this way. We're waking up on a Saturday. You know what happened last night? You know what the big headline was?
What?
In the night, Trump sent a drone to kill the one of the leading generals Iran.
Yeah.
So you wake up to this headline being like, guess it happened last night. And we've got this one. I got to post it later. But it's like, Trump's actions may have put Canada in jeopardy. It's like, what the hell did we do? Right? We didn't do anything. Everyone goes to sleep. You wake up. All the world leaders are shaking their head at Trump, wondering what the hell's going on. Even some of the military are like, hey, this wasn't us. Trump ordered this one. Like, even they're not like, you know what? We had to defend our country. Yeah. They're like, Trump made us do this.
That's like me having a gun. And you're just like, Bell's just like, Nick, blast this motherfucker. Listen, I may have the gun, but I'm just getting orders from this guy. Bam. Right.
So, I mean, this guy is making some moves. It's going to be interesting here in the next few days. So to get on the radio, especially now after all that, and be like, you know what, guys, I'm a Trump supporter. It's a difficult time to do that, even for the Ukrainian streams that we'd get from it. But
have you seen these like the big trending thing happening is World War III?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the memes quote unquote Black Twitter has been doing?
No, I haven't.
So if you search Black Twitter World War III, there's some pretty funny, memes happening, like guys in Timberlands and like, you know what I mean? Just like, and there's people just saying like, you know, jumping out of the plane and they just, it's just super funny memes that some people just have too much creativity when it comes to something super serious.
That's quick, man. That's quick turnaround too. So
the internet is undefeated, man. When it comes to comedy, man, the greatest comedian of all time is the internet. Let's put it that way. That's the best.
That's
way.
That's a nice line. I like that.
Man. It is, man.
I like that. Speaking of comedians.
Oh,
have you seen this, Kevin Hart, documentary?
I didn't watch it. I started watching Donnell Rawlings instead, which he used his exact material that when we went to go see him, which is really funny. He did the Old Town Road. He did a lot of dog humping and, you know, Sally, you know, those types of bits, which was good. But no, back to your question. I have not. What's it about?
So it goes over, it kind of starts off with the whole Oscars scandal and someone's giving him an interview and he stops it. And I thought it was pretty interesting to lead it, actually, especially from a technical standpoint. He stops it and he's like, before we get in this, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't know about me. It's kind of stuff about my background and this and that. That's the kind of stuff you have to know to understand who I am and where I'm, what I'm really about, especially at this time. Then it cuts back to one of his earlier performances of him starting out, and you know, then it goes through the whole process of, I guess they've been filming him since 2017, 2018, and it shows him kind of like rising through, going through the whole cheating scandal, going through different things with his family and whatnot. And it's just like a 6-part episode of just showing what his life is really like, where it started and where it ended up. And then it gets into the whole like homophobic stuff and the incident he had there with the Oscars. I'm not going to say too much about any specifics or whatever, but people are probably out there because there's a lot of big Kevin Hart fans. I'm not really a Kevin Hart fan. As far as comedy goes, I find him to be, I guess there's no easy way to say that. I find him just to be a little bit like too much. Now, he's definitely done some funny stuff that I've really enjoyed and whatnot, but I find it to be like, especially lately, a lot of it was like the kids and a lot more of like short,
short kind of jokes and different things like that, which I kind of got annoyed by. He came to Winnipeg, what, twice, I think it was. I think I went and see him both times or whatever, and performances are good. His first time here was really good, right? The second time wasn't bad. But like I said, it was kind of like, okay, he got into like his kids in the sides and stuff again. That's kind of like, yeah, you know, and whenever you see him and other comedians see him, whatever, like that's always one of the things. So I'm kind of like, okay, I'm done with the height jokes and stuff. Like, let's get on.
What's your favorite Kevin Hart joke?
My favorite Kevin Hart joke is when he's talking about, he's at a like family dinner or whatever. And his, uncle is, just got back from like prison or whatnot. And is giving him a hard time. And he's just, at the dinner talking normal, whatever. And like, his uncle would always tell him, be like, hey, say it with your chest, say it with your chest. Like, you got to stand up straight, posture, like, you know, like pretending you're back in the yard. So that was funny. And like I said, that's some of his earlier stuff. But, yeah, I don't mind Kevin Hart. Did you have a favorite Kevin Hart joke?
I don't have a favorite, but the one that stood out was when he's out with his chick and he's super drunk and he's trying to be like really dirty with her, and they go to like 7-Eleven. He's like, babe, you want to suck this Doritos off my dick and just shit like that. Like just being super silly. I thought that was funny, but like, that's about
you
it.
Would you pervert.
That's about it.
But no, what I really liked about the documentary was it showed a side of him. I know it lets you in behind the scenes, right? Behind the scenes, I say in quotation marks for those who can't see inside the studio here. Because my other thing is, yo, he's been filming himself from 2016, 2017. And then, so it's cool that he was able to put this documentary out about all the scandals and stuff that he went through. But that means he's had a film crew around him the whole time documenting this and editing the way that he wants. And now, boom, now he has something he can put out. Most people can't do that, right? They have to sit there and face the music. Right. They can't be like, oh, check all this other shit out that happened that you guys don't know. Like, it's like, yeah, you have a film crew, man.
Is that
like,
Hollywood for you?
Exactly, right? Like, that's just, and it comes across like, here's a genuine look at me, but it's also like, no one has film crews following around all the time unless they're already planning to release something like this. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's just foresight. Or even like if we wanted to, like, here, let's tell a story about how Thirst World blows up. Start like what we're starting to film now. Who's going to film us? Like, we don't have the resources to have that kind of shit around. Right. So that's what I was kind of like. It made me be like, okay, this is cool, but also kind of cynical of Hollywood, like you said. But the genuine part I really liked was his whole network of friends and the people that he's developed with. And it's kind of like, and it's kind of interesting. You relate things that are going on in your own life to that, right? So it's like, we're starting off here in Thirst World and we've been doing some things here right over the years, small steps, which is exactly what Kevin kind of went through. And he, even from then, he'd have a small group of people around him that he's met over the years, people that he's known for years. And as he got bigger and bigger, gave them more and more responsibility, right? So that was kind of neat to see that it wasn't one of those things where, like, then he went and got, like, you know, kind of like the LeBron thing, right? Went out and got a professional to do this or do that. He helped his buddies learn what it meant to be a professional in these roles and then gave them more and more responsibility, right? So I thought that was really neat and kind of like, kind of inspiring to actually witness something like that where, yeah, it is a buildup from where you were before, like, you know, we're hanging out, having a few drinks at a local bar, be like, oh, let's do a podcast, whatever, to the point where, heaven forbid, we ever get big enough one day for people who actually want to listen to us on a national level, right? Where we're like, yeah, now we have our own podcast studio, our own production company, and we're running other podcasts and helping other people out. And it's still me, you, and B out here, and occasionally Doc when he's got time to show up to the studio, right? Like doing
too many dinners,
right? Doing things like that, where it's like, yeah, no, that's cool. That's the growth that you want to take. And it's nice to see that he's still close with the people that he came up with. Right. So I thought that was inspiring, but yeah, like I said, the only smart part that really made me raise my eyebrows is like, yo, you had a film crew with you the whole time. So, I mean, how grassroots is this story really? You know what I mean?
What's really real in Hollywood, right?
Well, that's it. And you get to edit, you know? Yeah. But like I said, it's neat. It's worth checking out, especially if you're a Kevin Hart fan, or if, you know, you just want a little bit of extra motivation. I don't know if I'd watch all six episodes, but yeah, it's neat to see.
I remember one time, this is not really related to what you're just saying, but I went to Universal Studios in LA.
Okay.
And they gave me like, I got to see like the hangars where they film and some stuff. So like, I saw like Will and Grace and like the prop hangar, which is pretty cool. So it's all the props from all the movies from Universal. So like everything from E.T., you name it, like Jurassic Park, everything, you name it. It's all there, all the props.
That's kind of neat. So it's not a specific movie. It's everything.
It's all there. That's it's like listed. And like you can literally look at the tags and you can see celebrities and companies that took it, like rented it out. Because you can rent all that stuff, right? And I just remember like walking around and, you know, everyone's kind of friendly there, right? So they'll ask me like, oh, hey, like, what's your name? What are you doing here? You know, just small talk. And at the time I was like performing, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I'm here doing a gig. So I'm like, oh, very cool. Cool. How about you? Oh, I'm an actor. I'm like, oh, and you work at Universal Studios? Yeah. I'm an actor too. Oh, cool. Well, like, what have you done? And they'll tell you bits like, oh, I've been on this like, you know, Disney Plus show or like, you know, Disney Kids or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
I've been on this show. I did a cameo here. Cool. And then my tour guide was like, yeah, I've been in a few movies. I was in Star Wars, you know, I was in the background and, you know, just stuff like that. And you're like, that's like, and you work at Universal fucking Studios. Like, it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so Hollywood. Doesn't matter where you go.
Yeah. Everyone's
an actor there. Yeah. Like, doesn't matter what you do. You go to Full Lock. Hey, what do? Hey man, I'm just trying to get some roles in my acting world, man. And you work at Full Lock. That's crazy, man. Like, it's unreal. Hollywood is just crazy. Let's just put it that way. Right. There's so much room that people can fit in, but people are just trying to squeeze in to that little motorcycle, which you call Hollywood, right?
So when are you moving out to Hollywood?
Fuck, when the taxes go down.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.